God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to guide us in this world when we're living as his children, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is from the epistle lesson. And I want to reread a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians at the 10th chapter. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So, for God's word for our consideration, I want you to think about this. I want you to tell me what two seasons of the year that we have here in Minnesota.
Winter
and
road construction.
How do you know that it's road construction? You see the signs, don't you? But also this year, we have other signs. Danger, water over the road, detour. Last Sunday, we were coming down 5. And lo and behold, there was that detour sign because there was water over the road. We also see left lane ends merge right. How many people merge? I am convinced that Minnesotans can't read. I am really convinced that we can't read those signs because we don't merge. Or when it says merge, we see vehicles racing in front of us, trying to get ahead of us and into the line. And if you've ever been over the Lafayette Bridge in St. Paul, you know exactly what I mean. We have those warning signs. Danger, danger ahead. Be ready. It tells us in our driver's ed that we have to have our eyes pointed about, what, a fourth of a mile down the road so we can see obstructions? This year, you've got to keep almost your eyes over your hood because you're running into those potholes. But you see, what this has to say to us in our spiritual lives. Danger. Warning. Satan is ahead. Satan is ever present. Satan wants to chew you up and spit you up. He has no use for you after he has grabbed you, after he has eaten you up, and after he has spit you up because he says, there, where is your God, Christian? Temptations are all about us. St. Paul was reminding us that Satan is ever there. That we are living in a world that wants to beat us up. We're living in a world that is fastly being non-Christian, non-believing, non-churchgoing. There's been so many studies about millennials, why they're leaving the church. They have no use for it. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't make my life real. It doesn't have any importance at all. Why believe in a man who died over 2,000 years ago? That you can't see, that you can't touch, that you can't listen to and speak to and hear. This is our world. This is our world that wants us to be deceased. And our Christianity wants to take our faith away. And I told you before, I'll say it again, I fell away from the church because John took another assignment. I had sat down with John for many times, and he gave me a sheet of classes to take. To get into Seabury Western, that's the Episcopal's seminary in Chicago. And when he left, my interest left with him. It shouldn't have been. when I left the church. I had parents who said, you're confirmed now. You can make your own decision whether you want to go to church or not. You don't tell a teenager that. Because they'll take you up on it, which I did. Then I got a job at St. Luke's Hospital as being a janitor. I worked 3 weekends a month. So the fourth weekend was easy to not go to church. So the new rector came. That's what they called him, the Episcopal Church. And the assistant took him around to visit with people. And Don was pretty good. In fact, his son sang at my wedding. I should say our wedding. It wasn't just my wedding. But I still had fallen away from the church. Because I didn't want to have anything to do with that. It didn't mean anything to me anymore. Because John left. Which was a ridiculous excuse. But there Satan was grabbing hold of my heart. He was trying to get in there and pull it apart and me with it. Until the Almighty God put that wonderful, beautiful woman in my life who said, God is important. We're going to go to church. And even when we had a flat tire on the car, when we lived in St. Cloud, we walked the 6 blocks to church. We can get it fixed after church. You don't need to fix it now. But you see, there's what God does. God gives us those things and people in our lives to rope us in. To be caring, to be sympathetic, to love, and to say that God is important in our lives. God is important, and He knows what Satan can do. So He wants us to have the armor, His armor. You read about it in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Talking about a whole armor that is placed upon us. We know about protection. Some of you may have that protection on your job, whether it's hard hat or whether being a fireman. Now, I was a fireman in Iowa. And whenever we had to go to a fire, we had to put on our bunker gear. Although when we did go to car fires, we had a chief that wouldn't put on his bunker gear and breathing in all those fumes and everything. But usually we'd put on our bunker gear, our pants, our jackets, our helmet, our mask, everything to protect us. When I was playing hockey, I played position of goalie. And back then, you had a mask that covered your whole face and you couldn't see out of it. Not like the goalies now. You didn't have any protection in the back or at the top. So if I would have hit my head, I would probably not be here today. There's that protection, but God gives us more protection for our spiritual life. He gives us His Word. The Word to read on a daily basis. That Word is so important to our nourishment and our strength. God gives that Word to us. In the beginning, God created the world. And in the end, God gave us eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, come. And in between, He gives us strength for our lives. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, is what God says to the prophet Isaiah. In Paul's book to the Romans, he says, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. when the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he grabs you. He pulls you in and he said, you are mine. I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And I will give you the armament to protect you, his word and sacraments. And that is what is there for us. And he assures us through that word that he will be with us no matter what happens. No temptation is ever unique. It's all there, tempting us to fall away from the church and fall away from God. It used to be that those who wanted to view pornography could have to go to a store and buy the magazines. Now it's only a push of the button. Temptation is there. Temptation riddles us, defeats us, chews us up, but God loves us. And God is there to bring us in, to love us more, to pour upon his grace on us, so that we can continue as his children here in the world. As we can continue as his servants, reaching out and touching the lives of others. You have that power. You have that channel. It's not just the pastor channel, but it's your channel of prayer. This last week, the circuit visitors got together at a retreat in Buffalo, Minnesota. And on Thursday night, Bob Schultz from the district office, he says, gentlemen, I want you to pray for all your fellow pastors in your circuit tonight before you go to bed. The next morning, he says, you know, I have to make this admonition. I have to admit this, that I started praying for you guys, but I fell asleep. I said, he's not the only one. I couldn't even get through the answers. Pastor Augustine at Emmanuel in Plainview. But we need to pray for each other. And just yesterday, Karen came home from the hospital and he said, a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Dale Coors, and his wife was in an accident. And I was wondering why she was telling me this because of the HIPAA law. She can't tell me this. She looked at me and smiled and said, Dale told me to tell you. So Dale and Sherry were in my prayers, or in my prayers now. He's going to have soft tissue injuries that he's going to have to deal with. But that's what we need to do, is pray for people. Husbands, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husbands. Because Satan is ever there, trying to divide, trying to put a wedge in between your relationship. God is there to protect you. Pray for one another. Parents, pray for your children. Children, pray for your parents, because they're not perfect. They're not perfect. They fail. They fail miserably, don't you? We stub our toes. We fall down the stairs. We try to do our best. You see, you didn't come with a little guidebook in your lives. A guidebook that we're given is the Bible. But it doesn't tell us the answer to a baby crying in the middle of the night. Or when the Sunshine Club, the seminary, is knocking at your door and you have a wife who's crying and a baby who's crying and you don't know how to handle this. You know, pray for one another. Help one another. Support one another. That's what God wants us to do in our lives, because there are temptations, there are failures, there's potholes, there's obstructions all in our way. I'm not saying you're going to have a perfect life. I'm not saying that your lives are not going to be filled with trials and temptations, because your life is going to be filled with trials. Every time I talk to pre-marriage or counseling, I told them about the trials that they're going to And I say, now that's Pastor. Now that's we love each other. At the wedding ceremony, I said, continue to think about this. When you make your vows, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, you're going to go there. Because you are going to have those trials, temptations. You're going to stub your toes. But God has a word. Never will I forget you. Never will I forsake you. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We need to remember those words. In Christ's holy name, amen.